follow along with me. I'm desiring this to be a help to you as you talk to folks this Christmas season, whether that be at work or at home, with your family, etc. I mentioned Wednesday night about the importance of teaching. I need to do a better job working on doing a better job of teaching while preaching, or having a better mix of the two. I want to give some teaching this morning in the message, and I pray it'll be a help to you and a blessing. We're talking about the star, the real star of Bethlehem. The real star of Bethlehem. It was not a star that was in the sky. The real star of Bethlehem was Jesus Christ. He's the one that deserves not just a thought or just a kind of cliche. He's really the one that should be the forefront. When you think of Christmas, you should think of Christ. And that's what we'll talk about this morning. The real star of Bethlehem. We're going to look at Numbers chapter 24, our key verse for the entire message. The entire message is built upon or built around verse number 17. But we're going to begin reading in verse number 15. On Wednesday night, we had a message out of the book of Isaiah, some 750 years before Christ was born, the prophecy of the coming Messiah, Isaiah. And this morning, we're talking about the prophecy here of Numbers, referring to the coming Jacob's star, the star of Jacob, which would be Jesus Christ as well. Chapter number 24 of Numbers, beginning in verse number 15, if you're there, please say amen. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes opened. Here it is. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. Now, I don't have an entire hour here to preach or give the background of Moab, but the bottom line truth about Moab, he was a very wicked, ungodly king, one who hated Israel, one who hated God's people, and one who ultimately hated anything to do with God himself. And so he had gone to the trouble of hiring this prophet, so-called prophet Balaam. We know that he was not a God-honoring prophet, although God used him for God's honor. He was not a God-honoring prophet, but he had hired Balaam to come and pronounce judgment or a curse upon Judah or upon Israel. And instead of performing or pronouncing a curse upon God's people, instead he pronounced three different times, on three different occasions, great blessing towards God's people. He had been hired to curse them. Instead, he blesses God's people and in turn pronounces a curse upon Moab. At the end of the verse there it says, and shall smite the corners of Moab. So anything that Moab would consider to be a stronghold, that God's Messiah, God's son, as he comes to the earth, the star of Jacob, whenever he got here, he would destroy anything. Not only Moab would hold to be as a stronghold, or anyone or anything ungodly would consider to be a stronghold against God or his work or his people, that this star of Jacob would destroy whenever he came. Back in Genesis chapter 3, God pronounced a judgment upon Satan and said that his seed would bruise the heel of her seed, which would bruise his head. So Christ bruised the head, crushed the head of the serpent, of Satan, whenever he gave his life freely on Calvary. Some 33 and a half years after Christ would come to this earth, he would live a perfect, sinless, pure life here on earth, and then he would go to the cross. He would give his life. Oh, by the way, let me remind you, no one took Christ's life. He gave it freely for us. Whenever he gave his life on the cross and then rose victoriously from that grave, 3 days later, he crushed the head of the serpent, of Satan. Moab here is one of the representatives of, or had the same type of mindset that Satan would have, to want to overthrow God's work or overthrow God's people. And the prophecy simply is this, that whenever the star of Jacob, whenever Jesus Christ would come to the earth, he would knock out any type of security, knock out the four corners of the work of Moab. God put in Balaam's mouth, this so-called prophet, his ungodly man, but God used him in this case to bring honor and glory to God. God put in his mouth the true Christmas message, though Balaam was not a man of truth. God will not be stopped. That's something we talked about on Wednesday night, that whenever God's plan was put in motion back before the foundations of this world were created, before time began, God started his plan of redemption, and no one, not then, not now, not ever, will be able to stop the plan or the work of God amongst man. Whenever it started, he will not be stopped by Satan, but will use, if he has to, he'll use the plans and actions of Satan to advance his purpose. There's a very interesting portion of Scripture within the Word of God found in Psalm chapter 76, verse 10. You don't have to turn there this morning, but in Psalm chapter 76, verse 10, the Bible says, "Surely the wrath of men shall praise thee." In other words, Moab, whenever the star of Jacob comes and wipes out any security you have, this ungodly act, this ungodly man, one day will praise the star of Jacob. Jacob, it'll bow down. Every knee will bow down and worship him at one day. And we continue on here that Balaam gets no credit. I want to make sure that if we don't get very much else about Balaam, we understand that Balaam's not getting credit. In other words, God isn't looking at Balaam and said, "Okay, Balaam, I know you've been untruthful, unholy, unjust in the past, and you're going to continue to be an unholy, unjust prophet, so to speak, from this point forward until you die, until I take your life from you." But he's not looking at him and saying, "I'll give you credit for this." No, God is using this ungodly man to proclaim a godly message, a God-honoring message. God does not honor men like Balaam, even though they may speak his message. I would like for you to take your Bible and turn. Hold your place here in Numbers and turn back to Matthew chapter 7 with me, please. Matthew 7, verse number 22. Matthew 7, verse 22. God does not honor ungodly men. He may use them to bring honor to himself, but he does not honor the ungodly man himself. God does not honor these men. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23, the Bible says, "Many will say to me in that day," so not just Balaam, but many men like Balaam who were used of God to do some things, does not mean that earned them salvation or earned them credit. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many," what's the next two words? "Wonderful works." We've been used of you to do these great things. Balaam was used of God to pronounce this great prophecy. But look at the rest of it. Verse number 23. "And then will I profess unto thee, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work," what's the last word? Iniquity. Balaam was an unjust or unholy, unrighteous, ungodly man, but God used him to pronounce a God-honoring message. The term Star of Jacob is used in a lot of crazy different definitions, but literal translation here, the literal meaning of the Star of Jacob, if you happen to be in a conversation with someone about this, the Star of Jacob speaks of our great Savior, Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ, the only one it's referring to is Jesus Christ, because he's the only one who could take away the sins of mankind. You believe that this morning? Say amen. He's the only sinless one who's ever lived. He's pure and holy and righteous. He's the only one who could bring redemption to mankind. When he came to this earth, he was the star of the show. We kind of use some of our modern terminology. He was the star of the show then. He should be the star of the show in our minds. Think about Christmas. It's all about the Savior. Few recognize him as that star back then, and few recognize him even today about the fact the reason for the season is Jesus Christ. The reason for the season is the fact he brought salvation, redemption to mankind. He came as a babe in Bethlehem. Tonight, we're going to talk about Bethlehem, the place where Christ was born, and the significance of it, and why we need to understand about it, think about it, know about it, be able to talk about Bethlehem very clearly. We'll talk about that this evening. But he was a babe born in Bethlehem. This term star in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, the term star, we're going to revolve the whole message around, it gives us four specific lessons. And these lessons are very practical. I hope that you would be able to use these in your conversation. We find, first of all, that the star of Jacob, speaks of rank. Now, I know in our church, whether everyone's here this morning or not, I know in our church there are a lot of military men and women. There are a lot of men and women who have served in our armed services, our armed forces, as well as family members who've had other family members go off into service. And those who've ever been in the military know that the highest-ranking officers have stars on their uniform. The highest-ranking. And the Bible teaches us clearly that Christ is the highest rank of anyone. He is the highest rank of anyone. In the book of Revelation, chapter number 19, verse 16, we spent an entire 2 weeks on this during the summer, going through the book of Revelation. On this one verse, it gives a very clear description that he is the highest rank of anyone. Revelation 19, 16 says, "And he hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." He is supreme. He is first place. No one compares to him. As a matter of fact, no one on this earth is higher ranked than Jesus Christ is, has been, or ever will be. He is higher ranked than anyone. No one else even comes close to being equal with Christ. Hold your place in Numbers, please, and turn back to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we'll look at verses 9 and 10 together. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 9, we'll read verses 9 and 10. No one on this earth comes close to ranking as high as Jesus Christ, or being as equal with Christ. Philippians 2, verse number 9, the Bible says, "Wherefore God hath also highly," what's the next two words? "Exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth." He's been exalted by God Almighty. The only authority, God, has highly exalted him above every name. No one is even close to being equal with Christ. You know, whenever we consider the fact that we are the children of God, whenever we consider the fact that we're joint heirs with Christ, whenever we consider the fact that God loved us enough to send his Son to die for us, to bring salvation to us, when we consider the reason we celebrate Christmas, I hope the next time you have a conversation with someone, you have confidence in your risen Savior. You have confidence in the love of Jesus Christ, in the love of God the Father. He loved you so much, he sent his Son to die for you. Jesus Christ, the one who is higher ranked than anyone on this earth, gave his life so that you could have salvation. The star speaks of rank. No one has ever been as highly ranked or ever will be as highly ranked as Christ. We also see that the star of Jacob, back in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, the star of Jacob speaks of stability. It speaks of stability. The star speaks towards our need. No matter if you're a man or woman, boy or girl, you need stability in your life from a very young age. You need a stable routine whenever you're a baby, a sleeping routine, an eating routine, different routines that you need as a child to help you develop. As you get older, you need routines. Routinely, you need sleep. Routinely, you need to eat food. Routinely, you need to be able to rest and to work and to do things, to be productive. It speaks of stability. We see the same star that Abraham saw in the days when God told him, back in Genesis chapter 15, verse number 5, God says to Abraham, "Look now toward heaven and tell or count the stars, if thou be able to number them." Jesus Christ is just like the Bible tells us, he's the same yesterday, today, and how long? Forever. And he established creation back in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning, God created. That's Jesus Christ. He created the sun, the moon, the stars, the same stars that are in heaven back in Abraham's day, the same stars back in Genesis chapter 1, the same stars, the same stars we're looking at today. He's the same. He doesn't change. The star of Jacob speaks of stability. The stability of Christ is seen in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 8, where it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This world has nothing comparable. This world has nothing to rest upon. Whenever we were going through the process of having the funeral services recently for James, we had several conversations, not just with the family, but folks who were coming in to visit. And the conversation, it was very familiar. If you've been to funeral services or viewing services before, you've heard things like this said. "I don't know how folks who don't have Christ can handle loss. I don't know how they can go through this time of mourning. I'm so thankful we have Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that he gives us hope when no one else and nothing else can give us hope. I'm so thankful for the stability that Jesus Christ, the star of Jacob, brings to mankind. I'm so thankful for the star and this stability." But also the star speaks of influence. One cannot speak along about the stars before someone brings up the influence of stars upon mankind. Now we can go all from several different aspects of life, or several different even jobs, or the routines of men and women with stars. but there's also the aspect of godly use of stars, a thing called astrology. Astrology and it's just a bunch of nonsense. To be able to try to look at the stars, your horoscope, predictions, etc., they're unreliable, contradictory, and they're satanic, and they're very core. That's an ungodly use of what God created in the stars. When we think about the influence of stars, though, we also think about the influence of the star of Jacob. And he is not nonsense. He is not ungodliness. Jesus Christ is purity. And we talk about the influence of purity upon our life. I want you to think with me. Maybe you could, as I go through this list, maybe you could think about people that you've known in your life. Maybe it's a family member, a coworker, a neighbor, someone in your town growing up. But the purity of Jesus Christ's influence upon mankind, he has made the drunkard sober. He's made the harlots pure. He's made thieves honest and liars true. He's made gamblers godly and the haughty he's made humble. When I was thinking about this list of influences of Jesus Christ or God upon mankind, I started thinking back through men and women in the Bible. And I could go on and list out people that you're familiar with. But you think about even in Jericho, there was a harlot there. Remember her? What was her name? What was it? Rahab the harlot. And what she had an ungodly testimony, obviously. She was not saved. There was no one to give her the gospel, no one to tell her about Christ. But she had heard of God. She had heard about how God had delivered the people. And what do we find about her at the end of her life? That she is in the very line, the line of Jesus Christ. She is in the line of the Savior. God turned this harlot into a God-honoring woman. He's done this in the Word of God, throughout the Word of God. He's done that in the current day in which we live. Again, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His holy influence. And can I say this? Just like his rank is unmatched, I would say this, that his influence is unmatched. When God gets a hold of a man's heart, when God gets a hold of a woman's heart, his life changes. His thinking changes. His decision-making changes. His priorities change. His life changes because of the influence of the Star of Jacob. The Star of Jacob speaks of rank. It speaks of stability and influence. But fourthly, the Star of Jacob speaks for centuries. And all the way back, even speaks about it in the Bible. For centuries, man on land and in the air, and especially on the sea, have used stars to guide them throughout their day. The stars can be used because they are reliable. They're going to be in the same place all the time. No one can guide us better than Jesus Christ can. You compare a star like the North Star or things like that. How many ever look for the Big Dipper in the sky? I didn't say you can call somebody that. You look for the Big Dipper in the sky. You ever done that? Sure, you know where it is. You know what it looks like. It's reliable. Jesus Christ, he guides us better than even the Big Dipper or the North Star or things like that. He is reliable. No one is ever led into the shame of sin by the Savior. No one's led into do wrong. Ben Beck and James, whenever you're tempted to do wrong, don't think that God tempted you to do wrong, because God cannot be tempted, neither tempteth he any man. He doesn't tempt us with sin. He tempts us towards God-honoring decisions. He leads us towards God-honoring lifestyles. He leads us in a God-honoring direction. We have many corrupt stars around our country today, if I can say it that way, whether they be preachers on the television or whether they be authors who are writing books, maybe they have a television show or something like that, radio station. There are many corrupt stars around today which lead men astray. But Christ, like the stars above that don't change, same ones that Abraham looked at, same ones God breathed into, Jesus breathed into creation back in Genesis 1 verse 1, that he guides us, it's a guide for us. Christ is a guide for us. Christ is the Christmas gift of truth and righteousness. Folks, I don't have to preach a big old long type of message this morning about this. I just wanted to try to give some insight into the reasons we celebrate Christmas. We don't do it just for the gifts and the lights and things. We do it because of Christ. He's the reason for the season. If it wasn't for him, we would be in a mess, wouldn't we? We'd be in a mess and we'd still be on our way to hell. That's just the bottom line truth and reality of the Word of God. The reality of our eternal destiny. I'm thankful for Christ. I'm thankful for the stability and the influence, etc., the purity that he brought to this earth, as well as what he desires to input into our life on a daily basis. The Star of Jacob from Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. The star speaks of rank, no one higher than him. It speaks of stability. No one brings more security than Christ. speaks of more of influence, the holiness, the righteousness of God, leading us in the paths of righteousness. The star speaks of guidance. Whenever you're looking for guidance, desiring to know the will of God and to do the will of God, we bow our heart in prayer and we ask and we seek and we knock and we dig into the Word of God and spend time. And we ask the Holy Spirit of God to use the Word of God to lead the child of God to do the will of God. I'm thankful for the star of Jacob. Let's stand to our feet, please. Father, we thank you for your word.